بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. سبحان الذي أسرى بعبده ليلا من المسجد الحرام إلى المسجد الأقصى الذي باركنا حوله. In the beginning of the fifth juz of the Quran Kareem, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala discusses and mentions the significance of Masjid al-Aqsa in terms of the Ummah, wherein Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, glory be to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who took his abd, his servant, from Masjid al-Haram to Masjid al-Aqsa, referring to the Isra and the Mi'raj of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And this discussion about the Isra and the Mi'raj of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has consistently taken place, normally associated with the month of Rajab, at the end of the month of Rajab. But towards the end of the very first page that begins the 15 juz of the Quran Kareem, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about the Bani Israel, wherein Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells them that, O Bani Israel, we gave you mulkan azima, we gave you a great kingdom. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, لَتُفْسِدُنَّ فِي الْأَرْضِ مَرَّتَيْنِ. You are going to cause mischief in the land twice. You are going to cause mischief in the land twice. And because of you causing mischief in the land, we will send upon you عِبَادًا لَنَا أُولِي بَأْسٍ شَدِيدٍ, such a strong nation that will drive you from your homes and you will now not know anything from your right from your left. In other words, you'll be completely annihilated. So this event actually took place at the hands of a Babylonian Assyrian king by the name of Nebuchadnezzar. About 700 years before the birth of Isa alayhi salatu wasalam, the first diaspora of the Bani Israel took place. They were a powerful kingdom at that point in time, but they had already lost Sulaiman alayhi salam, the sons of Sulaiman alayhi salatu wasalam, and by a nation that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says they continued to spread fasad and corruption in the earth. Hence Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that we will send upon you a king. And this king was Nebuchadnezzar. He was not a Muslim. He was a pagan. He was an idol worshipper. And he completely destroyed the Bani Israel. And he completely destroyed the nation, and he burnt the city of Elia, which is Jerusalem, to the ground. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran that, you know what, that is one event that happened. You regrouped, you came back, but then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't speak about the second event. Then when are you going to be driven from that land again? That you went away, you came back. You went away again and you came back. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has left that as a secret unto the ummah, that this second diaspora and destruction of your nation is going to continue, and it's going to happen before the day of Qiyamah. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about it in the beginning pages of Surah Isra, that you remember you did it once, and you did it once and we send somebody upon you, عِبَادًا لَنَا. But then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't speak about the event again. When is it going to happen again? And we are confident, as Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, that prior to Qiyamah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will send Isa alayhi salatu wasalam. And Isa alayhi salatu wasalam will fight together with Imam Mahdi on the same side. Imam Mahdi will pass away. He will go to the realm of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and Isa alayhi salatu wasalam will take over. Isa alayhi salatu wasalam will pursue Dajjal, and he will kill Dajjal right on the very outskirts of occupied Palestine, and he will claim the land for Iman, for Islam, and this will happen before the end of time. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't refer to in details that this will happen, that will happen, but rather Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala leaves it to the discretion of the reader of the Quran, that the destruction of this community happened once, but when they do the exact same things again, that they will continue to face the wrath of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala once again, and it is going to come very shortly. Continuing with the discussion of the same juz of the Quran Kareem, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in a comprehensive place describes the rights of parents, wherein Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَقَضَى رَبُّكَ أَلَّا تَعْبُدُوا إِلَّا إِيَّا. that your Lord has decreed, Allah has decreed, that you will worship no one besides Him. وَبِالْوَالِدَيْنِ إِحْسَانًا, and you will show ihsan and kindness unto your parents. In this, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala refers to parents in a number of places in the Quran. But in this singular ayat, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala goes into detail with regards to the way a person, an adult, should treat their elderly parents by saying that if one of them, أو كلاهما, or both of them, reaches old age, فَلَا تَقُلْ لَهُمَا, that you do not, فَلَا تَنْهَرْهُمَا, then you do not use vile language, you do not rebuke them. وَقُلْ لَهُمَا قَوْلًا كَرِيمًا, and you tell them noble words, and you do not rebuke them in any way. Look at the description of how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala uses that how a person should talk to their parents. That first Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, لَا تَنْهَرْهُمَا, don't shout at them and scold them. No matter what they have done, no matter what they have said, they are not worthy of receiving your scolding or your shouting because you are not in a position to do so. So therefore Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't say you can't disagree with them. It's possible that you have to disagree with them. What if your parents and you are not Muslim? What if they are calling you towards a lifestyle that is contrary to what you need to be as a Muslim? It's possible, it happens all the time. That the child is a righteous child, the child does not want to do what the parents do or tells him to do, because the parents are on a completely different wavelength when it comes to Islam and deen. Still too, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that although you may disagree with them, I'm not telling you whether to agree or disagree with them. Allah ta'ala doesn't say this. But what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does say is that your response to them, لَا تَنْهَرْهُمَا, that even if you disagree with them, and even if you have to part ways, then you do not do it in such a way that you are rebuking and shouting and scolding and doing anything that will aggravate the situation in front of your parents, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's instruction is clear. وَلَا تَقُلْ لَهُمَا أُفْ, and you do not even say the word أُفْ unto them. Uf is an Arabic expression. Every nation has got its own version of uf. For example, if you are from the subcontinent, that part of the world, your equivalent of uf will be oho. If you are from South Africa and partially Afrikaans speaking, your equivalent of uf will be ach. It's not a word. It's not a word. It is an expression. Understand? If you are from the UK, and your equivalent of the word uff will be blimey me. It all depends which part of the world you're from, that you will have an equivalent way of expressing yourself using the word uff. But this is an instruction unto the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, and an equivalent to uff in our structure, in our time, would be any word that you would say that is normally said out of rebuke, out of disregard, that you know what, don't bother me anymore. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, don't even say that unto your parents. Why? Because even that is regarded as transgression. And if you have to say anything, وَقُلْ لَهُمَا قَوْلًا كَرِيمًا, tell them noble words. Even if you disagree with them, say, you know what, I disagree, but I love you. I disagree, but you are still my parent. I disagree with you, but if you need me, please call on me. قَوْلًا كَرِيمًا, noble words that will be classified as noble in any society and in any part of the world. Now, can this deen over here that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala professes in the Quran not be attractive unto anybody who reads the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, rights of parents, rights of children, rights of this year, described in such a way that it has never ever been described in any kitab, in any book in human history? Towards the end of tonight's Salatul Taraweeh, which of course inshallah Allah ta'ala give life an opportunity, we may begin from round about there tomorrow. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about, in Surah Kaf, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about a series of incidences and stories that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is commanded to relate to the people via the Quran-i-Kareem. Now, there's a prelude to the discussion of Surah Kaf, or the stories therein. When the kuffar of Makkah, the mushrikeen, the polytheists of Makkah, now had exhausted their arguments with Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they couldn't talk to him anymore, they couldn't argue with him. Whenever they spoke to him, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent them some revelation. They realized that, you know what, our arguments are too weak. We need to interact and to take advice from a community who knows how to handle the prophets of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So they resort to the Yahud, the Jews who were living in Medina. And they come to the Jews and they tell the Jews that every time we approach him, he breaks our argument. And Allah ta'ala, oh God, reveals revelation from the top, and we got nothing to say. We can't respond any further. What must we do? So the Yahud, they tell them that, listen here, ask him three questions. Ask the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam three questions. If he rightfully responds to your three questions, you know what? He's a prophet of Allah. But if he cannot respond to your three questions properly and adequately, then he's an imposter. So they say that these are our three questions. Question number one, Ashabul Kaf, the companions of the cave, those boys who slept in the cave, who are they? Tell us their story, what you know about them. Then, second question, there's different variations of the same account, but nonetheless, the questions are all the same. The second question is that, who is that king that went from the east to the west? And, you know, he was a powerful king. What's his name? What's his story? Talk to us about him. The only one who did so. And the third question, what is the ruh? Tell us about the ruh, the soul that every person has. What is its reality? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala now, so they come to Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The mushrikeen, they come to Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam tells them that, you know what? I will tell you all the answer to these three questions. But Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam forgets to say, Insha'Allah. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala opens up that end of tonight's Salatul Taraweeh by telling Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, I'm going to give you the answer. The wahi was delayed for a number of days for a reason. The kuffar came to him and said, what, you don't have an answer for us? Normally every day before the day ends, you've got an answer for us. Rasulullah SAW and the Sahaba radiallahu anhum were getting concerned. Why is the answer not coming from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Finally the answer came. But before the answer came, Allah ta'ala tells Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, لَا تَقُلْ لِشَيْءٍ إِنِّي فَاعِلٌ ذَلِكَ غَدًا. That do not say that you are going to do anything tomorrow, except that you say, Insha'Allah. That's in the Quran Kareem. Do not say anything that you are going to do tomorrow, except that you say, Insha'Allah. Oh my Nabi, I'm counseling you, you forgot to say, Insha'Allah. So the answer to those questions, which are going to come now, were delayed. It caused you concern in the eyes of these people here, because normally the answers come on the turn, but do not forget to say your insha'Allah. And this is a lesson unto the ummah, right? This is a lesson unto the ummah collectively, that you are going to do something, say insha'Allah. But remember, there's two different types of insha'Allah. Insha'Allah, I'm going to do it. I'm going to try to do it. I'm going to put my heart in it. And inshallah, I want you off my back. Right? Inshallah, I want you off my back. I want to get rid of you. So therefore, I'm saying, inshallah, I'll do it. But I know, you know, everybody knows I'm not going to do it. That's a fake inshallah, which unfortunately comprises, al-iyadu billah, about 99% of the inshallah of this ummah, which is also a serious problem. You don't take Allah Ta'ala's name in vain. If you attempt to do something and you are going to do something, you are clear with it. Allah Ta'ala says in another place in the Quran, قُولُوا قَوْلًا سَدِيدًا. When you talk, you must talk straight. You must not talk in circles, you must talk straight. That is the quality of a believer. Either say you're going to do it, or you are not going to do it. You're going to give it, or you're not going to give it. One of the two. Rather than appeasing somebody by telling them a series of inshallahs, them banking their expectation in you, but then you know what, you don't deliver because your inshallah was never sincere to begin with at the onset. That is contrary to Islamic adab and etiquette. You rather clear in conversation at the beginning, you somehow, it may seem to be blunt to the person in front of you, but there is more khair and good in being clear with what you intend to do and not intend to do, as opposed to a person simply beating around the bush. So Allah Ta'ala tells Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, do not say anything that you are going to do tomorrow except that you say inshallah. Then the answers to the questions come. Two of them are in Surah Kaf, one of them elsewhere in the Surah Isra, the one that we did at the beginning of the Taraweeh last night, wherein Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala says, number one, يَسْأَلُونَكَ عَنِ الرُّوحِ, they ask you regarding the ruh, the soul. Tell them, ruh min amri rabbi, that the ruh is from the matter of my Allah, which is a correct answer. The ruh is a secret from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah ta'ala knows best regarding it. That's the correct answer that they wanted to do or wanted to know. You know, sometimes people are pressured that I'm asked a question, I must know the answer. Not every question in the world has an answer that people know. There are questions that people are still trying to find the answer thereof. Nobody really knows. Allah Ta'ala knows, but no insan, no human being knows. If Rasulullah ﷺ had attempted to answer that question, the ruh is this, it weighs so much, it's found here, it's found there, it would have been the wrong answer. But the correct answer was, it's the matter of my Allah. Like how every prophet answered before, Allah Ta'ala knows best about it. And on the day of Qiyamah, if he so wishes, he'll explain what the ruh is. That was the correct answer. And then regarding the boys in the cave, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the introduction of Surah Kaf speaks about it, that who were these boys, that they ran away from an oppressive king that was forcing them on kufr and disbelief. They slept in a cave for 330 years. They had a loyal dog with them that followed them. It stood at the mouth of the cave. وَكَلْبُهُمْ بَاسِتٌ ذِرَاعِهِ بِالْوَسِيدِ. The dog was there with its four arms like this, looking after the mouth of the cave. Allah Ta'ala speaks about this, which was an answer to another question of theirs. And the third question, who was that king that went to the east and the west? His name was Zulqarnain. And he, inshallah, appears in tomorrow's Taraweeh, inshallah. SubhanAllah, alhamdulillah, subhanAllah.